Next to next 10.
Okay, planning board meeting Monday, April 17th. Okay, go ahead.
Okay, so we're a little off on our time at 7:02, but we're going to start the meeting for April 17th, 2023. We have two items on our agenda, one old business and one new. We'll start right out with our old business. We have a public hearing for a three-lot subdivision under the applicant name of Carolyn Mullen. Do we have somebody to present that?
Yes.
Okay, so it is a public hearing. We'll just ask that if you speak, can you tell us your name?
I'm Jay Mullen.
And where are you from?
Burt Road.
There you go. Okay.
This is the applicant.
It's the applicant. No, it's just so that the recording knows, so whoever does transcribe this knows who is
right.
Okay, so please present what you have.
I don't have, what you asked for, Mr. Martin asked for, was a new map, and the map maker did not come through with it, so all I have is the old map. And I
have to say, this is not on Mr. Mullen. He was literally in my office the following morning after the last meeting, and I know he's pretty diligent about this stuff. He's been to the surveyor's office 4 times trying to get the changes done. So
that was mostly the corrections of like getting rid of the extra.
I would characterize it as a cleanup. It wasn't a substantive change in terms of lot sizing or anything like that.
Right.
But it was cleanup and making it a little easier to understand.
Right. Okay. I would suggest that still has to be done before we can sign them.
Yeah.
I don't know if it affects your approval process.
Well, that's what I was saying. If we could, you know, the map's not really going to change much other than you're going to have less.
Yeah, we're trying to just make it more understandable. Yeah. So. All right. Is that all you have for presenting?
I guess. Got any other questions?
Does anybody have any discussion on this one?
Is there any other things you would like on the map? I mean, still up for...
Is it in the area of the house sites, is there any vegetation present where you plan on having...
No, the one...
pretty open?
Yeah, the one site is where the old, basically the old house was.
Okay.
We're moving it off the fountain, you know, bad luck to build a house that burned twice.
Okay.
Move it 50 feet one way and hope for the best. The other site is John, which is just a field right now, and that's a year or so. You know, the idea was to chunk it out now while we're paying the bills.
So the old foundation to the old house, what's going to happen with that then?
That's all gone.
It's all gone.
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we raised all that right after the fire, you know, to code.
Okay.
You know.
There's some construction going on there right now. Is that?
Well, that's the barn.
That's south of both of these lots, right?
Yeah.
That's what I thought.
Yeah, that's the barn that you guys asked to have moved from the road. The town asked me when I was taking the building down to have the old barn down. I said, yeah, I can do that. And on a verbal, can I build another barn? So.
Right. I just want to make sure they weren't. It wasn't like on a lot line or something that before we got going here.
It's on the big parcel.
Okay, that's good.
And it's, you know, even the new lines that are going in is 25 feet from
the other
way. Yeah, the new line. So it'll be within all zoning. It's set back 100 feet from the
That's road. Already been checked.
Yeah. That's
well, good. No, I was just making, I assumed it was on a separate building permit on the lot that already exists or the land that already exists there. I just wanted to make sure it wasn't too close to a boundary line somewhere on these new lots.
Yeah. No, it's
okay.
It's all done within more than, that's what I say. And no, if there's, like I said, he hasn't drawn the map, so. I want to add the picture.
So at this point, we'll open it up to the public. Does anybody have any comments or concerns or questions for this applicant? Once again, we have our three rules, which are please state your name and where you're from, follow a certain level of decorum, we appreciate it, and respond to us and not to the applicant. Anybody?
Yes. Excellent question. Pat Killian, 120 Burt Road, Kansas, New York. My neighbors here. One question that I had is, due to the print not being here, is everything a verbal now, saying okay, but once you do get the prints, is it a go? Will that be a possibility? Or based on the verbal saying right now, you guys are saying it's okay as long as you guys receive the print from the surveyor.
I think what you're asking is what I mentioned earlier, which would be we would do a conditional approval.
Correct.
Saying that the condition is that the map has to come with these items corrected. Anything that's outstanding, they're not things that are like outstanding, that are controversial outstanding. They're just corrections. There's a misplaced line or measurement or whatever. And what happens is those things go on to the plan or the conditions, and then when the plan comes in, whoever the two people are that sign them, they'll look and make sure that those conditions have been met before they sign the Mylars. Once the Mylars are signed, then they can get a building permit. They have to be sent to the
county.
Taken to county, and county makes the adjustments on the deeds and all, and then they can move forward with it.
Which is, that process just takes a while. Just curious.
Depends on the county, right?
Well, that whole thing, once we get the board member signatures, and sometimes it takes up to a week getting people loaded, you know, with free time to come in and sign them. Once they're signed, then it's all on the applicant. You know, you can come in, pick up your Mylars, file them with the county, and then depending on where you're in their cycle in the year, you know, they'll be recorded in the next tax roll.
Sure.
And that's when the lines change on the tax mapping and all that. So it could be 11 months, it could be two.
Sure.
You know, depending where you're at in the year.
Okay, yeah.
But as soon as you file the deeds, the lots are created.
Right, yeah.
It's just a matter of it getting recorded and working its way through the process down there. But it's recorded as soon as you file.
Sure. Okay.
And you'll get a written receipt from the county saying that they received it.
Gotcha. Okay, thank you.
No. Anybody else?
No, I did it. John did it.
You did it?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Silence is golden. So, Board, any other questions? Concerns? Do we have enough on the plans? Are there any other conditions we need to add? Other than the condition that I had, which was the extra acreage markings here and there on the map be eliminated, just for clarity so that we know.
I would just like to ask you, if you're going to, first of all, you got to do SEAKER. It's a short form on this. But if you do decide to move on this tonight, just try and quantify as best you can your conditions so we know what to look for, you know, upon them.
We'll go through that when we do our client. I was just curious.
Yep.
All right. Well, we do have to do SEAKER on it. You know what? We did the last time is we kept the public hearing open while we did SEAKER. Okay. That way we didn't have to reopen it.
Yeah.
I don't see where there could be any question on that. So
here I got a part 2 and 3 for you, John.
Oh, gee, I brought it too, but okay, I'll take that one because that way I can fill it in for you. All right. So you can have a seat.
All right, one question.
Sure. So, I didn't think to ask if you had any questions for us. So there you go.
So do I have to bring the map back in front of the board again, or do I just bring it to his office?
If tonight we finish SEAKER,
yeah,
we neg-deck it, we give you a final approval, and we do the whole motion for the chairman and one other member to sign them, then as long as the map that shows up at our board, Jim will take a look at it. As long as it meets all the conditions of the approval, he'll send the email out for myself and one other board member to come in and check out the Mylars and then sign them. Or Mylars or plans, paper plans. And then at that point, we're done with it. Our approval process is finished, and then it's you and the building department.
Okay? Thanks.
All right, so just have a seat. We'll go work our way through SEAKER.
Just one of those copies has to be a Mylar, because the county requires a Mylar.
Yeah, I was going to... Remember you said before they print it?
Yeah.
I'll run it down to you, you review it, then we'll say yes.
Yep. Okay.
So the county is still requiring a Mylar?
Yes.
I thought that it had gone digital, is what I had understood.
We have, keep one paper copy, but
we have them on digital.
We can scan it now full size onto our network here. So we just require the paper copy, and then we have the scan, and that's it.
So the, but the county,
the county still needs the Mylar.
Okay. All right. Well, then let's go through seeker then. Does anybody have any questions on the part one of seeker? Is there anything there that was not accurately filled in or complete? I thought it was a pretty good one. I looked through it last month, but. I'm not hearing any. So then we'll move on to our part two, impact assessment. This is participation. The responses will be no or small impact or moderate to large impact. Question number one, will the proposed action create a material conflict with an adopted land use plan or zoning regulations?
No.
Question number two, will the proposed action result in a change in the use or intensity of use of land?
No.
Question number three, will the proposed action impair the character or quality of the existing community? Question number four, will the proposed action have an impact on environmental characteristics that cause the establishment of a critical environmental area or CEA?
No.
Question number five, will the proposed action result in adverse change in the existing level of traffic or affect existing infrastructure for mass transit, biking, or walkway?
No.
Question number six, will the proposed action cause an increase in the use of energy and it fails to incorporate reasonable available energy conservation or renewable energy opportunities?
No.
Question number seven, will the proposed action impact existing public or private water supplies?
No.
Or public or private wastewater treatment utilities?
No.
Question number eight, will the proposed action impair the character or quality of important historic, archaeological, architectural, or aesthetic resources?
No.
Question number nine, will the proposed action result in adverse change in natural resources? An example is wetlands, water bodies, groundwater, air quality, flora, or fauna?
No.
Question number 10, will the proposed action result in an increase in the potential for erosion, flooding, or drainage problems? Question number 11, will the proposed action create a hazard to environmental resources or to human health?
No.
Quick and relatively painless. So that brings us to part three, which is a determination of significance. And as they were all small to medium, we'll check the box for no large or medium adverse impacts, and I will be looking for a motion from the board.
I'll make a motion that the part of road 3 lot subdivision will have a negative impact, environmental impact.
So we have a motion for a neg deck for the short form EAF for, Burt Road 3 lot subdivision. Do I have a second?
I'll second.
Motion and a second. Is there any discussion? Hearing none. Jim, could you just call
the roll? Mr. Shaver?
Yes.
Ms. Matias?
Yes.
Mr. Siebel?
Yes.
Mr. Arnold?
Yes. I have it as unanimous. Would the board like to do anything else at this moment? Actually, before we do that, I guess I should go back to the public hearing.
Close it, yeah.
So while I was looking for a motion to close the public hearing, but I should go back to the public hearing and say, is there anybody who has any comments, concerns, questions, or input that they would like to put in while the public hearing is open at this moment? Hearing none. We close the public hearing.
Make a motion to close the public hearing.
Second?
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Hearing none. The public hearing is closed. Four. Do you have any other discussion or questions on this, or would you like to make a motion?
Need a motion for the chairman?
Not yet.
Do you want to give the overview of what we need for the...
Yeah, we should probably... We can put that in the motion, though.
Okay.
That's what... I think that works best, right?
And the first thing you should do is if you're going to consider waiving the final application... You'll need three motions to get through this. Waiver of the final, the actual decision, and then if it is approved, the signature on the Mylars. So it'll be three.
All right. I'll make a motion to waive the final approval process.
I'll second.
Procedurally, we should probably do that, or we could do that after we make the motion to start. But we can do it now. So we have a motion and a second to waive the requirement for a 30-day break between the preliminary approval and final approval, as this is not a very controversial project. With that, is there any discussion? Hearing none, I don't think it's too controversial, so all in favor, aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. No opposition, that one passes unanimously, too. Anything else?
I'll make a motion to conditionally approve the Spurt Road 3-lot subdivision with the amendments to that, eliminating the multiple property acreage.
Jim, do you want a detailed list of the ones to be removed?
Yeah, everything we can make sure.
So if I could, if you wouldn't mind my sharing,
sure,
we'd like to eliminate or have the removal of. Would you rather it was the revised descriptor or the acreage descriptor to give you know which ones to get rid of?
I would think the acreage.
Okay, so to eliminate the. The markings for the 57.6 acre designation, the 12.65 acre.
So, not also 57 point what?
57.6 acre one.
Yeah.
The 12.65 acre one.
Mm-hmm.
The 130 acre one.
Mm-hmm.
And the 155.4 acre one. And the 25.4 acre one. Wow, there's a lot of acre marks on this. So the only ones to be remaining are, only ones are the two lots of 5.07 acres and 5.06 acres.
Yeah.
And the final lot of 225.7 acres. And actually, I take that back. Jim, let's make sure we're right on this. You have the application handy.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I think this one is 12 acres, and these two are coming out of it. So let's just make sure that that's right, too, because this should be remaining acres.
Yep.
Right?
Yep, exactly.
So I think it's supposed to be 215.
See, the thing that's happening here is causing part of the confusion is two lots are being merged.
Right.
And then he's doing the subdivision. The
right. But I don't understand why all these other ones are in here.
Yeah.
All right. So, but if you could make sure.
Yep.
Alright.
Yep.
Just so it's all straight when we're done.
Yep.
So you should be good, right? Because it's 225 and then there's the 25 lights, so 235 total.
It is 235 total?
On their application.
Okay, then that one is okay then, Jim.
Okay. Alright.
The reason I got concerned is here it says total area.
You just want to make sure that the net acreages add up to the original total of the original
right.
lot.
So maybe on that one we could get rid of total area and have it just say area.
Yep.
Because that's also that's the third lot. You have three lots there, 2 5-acre building lots, and then you have your 225-acre remaining, right?
Yep.
It's 235 and you're eliminating 2 5s from it?
Yep.
Okay.
I'm not going to answer that because I, you know, like you said, there's a little of the map maker.
Yeah, and what we're trying to do is make sure that when your maps get to the county, the county doesn't go, what is all this other stuff, and then hold it off.
Okay.
So if we can get it all clear, it makes it easy for everybody. Any other conditions on this? Anything else that we...
I went over with the surveyor on the phone, I went over the lot and the line weights. You know, to make sure that, you know, the new lots shown are the bolder lines.
Right.
So you can clearly understand which three lots are involved in the subdivision.
Yeah, I assume that's what those dotted lines, those, the one crooked dotted line and the one straight one there, that those were previous. Do we want to just say get rid of them?
Exactly. This should be post-merger.
Right, but that would be a... That would be a separate condition from eliminating those other things. No, actually, it can be part of that condition of cleaning up the map.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
All right. Anything else? So we have one condition of basically cleaning up these acre marks and the previous boundary marks. Hearing nothing else, would the board like to do anything else with this application?
Do you want me to remake the motion?
If you want to make it with that condition.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
A conditional motion to conditionally approve the Burt Road 3-lot subdivision with the amendments as discussed.
I got them all loaded here. Okay. And I'll put them in the record of decision, that you'll receive a copy of a written record of decision with the conditions listed.
All right. So we have a motion. Do we have a second on it?
Second.
A motion from Meredith, a second from Adam. Is there any further discussion on this? Hearing none. Jim, could you call the roll, please?
Yes. Ms. Matias?
Yes.
Mr. Siebold?
Yes.
Mr. Shaver?
Yes.
Mr. Arnold?
Yes. So that is unanimous also. So there's only one thing left to do with this, because we already did our waiver of the requirement for the second meeting for final approval. We only have one left. Would anybody like to make a motion?
I'll make a motion for the chair and one of the members of the board, Sam Wilders.
Motion, do we have a second?
Second.
Second from Mike. Motion and second. It's not controversial at all. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. No opposition. That one passes. You have the Town Morrill Planning Board's approval. Okay. Conditional.
Yep.
Okay. As soon as your... Oh, God, no, I didn't. No, I did. No, we did. We did. That's right. So as soon as your surveyor gets that map cleaned up under the conditions and it's presented to Jim and Jim says it's where it needs to be, then he will send an email out to us and two of us will come in and recheck it and sign off on it and you will be on your way. Okay?
Yeah. Good. Thank you.
Good luck.
So I would plan on about a week, 10 days between the time you bring it in.
Yes, no. I'll run it down to you and look at it and probably run it back. Run it down. You know, we'll be hard to plan on that. Mileage.
Sometimes it takes a little while, yeah, depending on what time.
Well,
of year.
Like you said, there's so many little things that,
right,
that you know. Like I said, I wanted to come in with whiteout and give it to you and let you just. What do
well,
you want
and so you know, I have a map here, but they've all been just crossed out. I'm good with that, but we like to see it.
No, that's what I'm saying. We could have come in with a whiteout and then hand it to that guy and say, here.
Exactly.
This is what you got
to
do.
So, but there is a delay for sometimes for us to get them signed, depending on what time of year it is and all. I try to get in here as quick as possible, but it depends on the week and
we still got a few months to build.
Right.
Before I can even think about then it's a whole other
exactly.
Engineer, another, yeah. Okay. I'm trying to eat the elephant one bite at a time here.
And we look forward to seeing them. Good luck.
Thank you, everybody.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
So moving along, next up we have new business, the project name of Route 9 Auto World Subdivision. Do we have somebody to present that?
Chairman, my name is John Richards. I'm an attorney in Glens Falls. I'm here for Route 9 Auto World.
Okay.
Look us up. You know,
John,
that dump truck's
bad. All right.
Very well, thanks.
Yes.
There we are, Meredith. And we're here tonight just on a two-lot subdivision. With me is Bob Vittengill from Route 9 Auto World, Joe Danival from EDP. Joe's going to explain the technical aspects of it. I just want to give a little background. This board has seen this property before. Originally, there was a sketch plan submitted several years ago for a three-lot subdivision when it included what is fast becoming the Hoffman Car Wash lot. And then that was switched down to two, and you can see up in Joe's map that the one lot that's here is the one lot that we're talking about tonight, and then there's the Hoffman. And now we'd like to go back to that original concept of three, and it's all based around the access road here for the three lots. We did go to the zoning board last month, received approval for a setback variance on the building here, And one of the conditions from that approval was to put some kind of protection for that one easterly projection of the building. And on the map you see that Joe's going to explain, it includes some guardrails, proposed guardrails, and some asphalt removal that whatever we do has to meet with, Jim has to be comfortable with, and that's just one proposal. We might try bollards or something else, but we'll run it by Jim in that regard. But that's a ZBA condition. Tonight we're just asking for the two-lot subdivision, and really that's it. Unless there's any questions, I'm going to ask Joe to walk you through it.
And if you recall, this started out in the long ago as the three-lot, and it was reduced down to two at the time. Now we're getting that third lot back. So
previously it was a three lot, and the proposed road was part of what's here as lot one, right?
Right.
I think that's
right. And what we're doing here now mechanically, because you know the road's not any, it's still in a conceptual level, if you will, and it's one I strongly endorse, having access to that rear parcel, but. This configuration is a little bit, you know, non-conventional to accommodate that access road, but for now, lot two is going to have this funny configuration with that curvature in the lot and all that kind of thing. But ultimately, someday, the hope is that this becomes a public right-of-way, and then lot two in the back will have proper frontage, you know, on that new road of about 136 feet. And we'll have access to the traffic signal for that property in the back.
So if I'm reading this correctly, the proposed road is now attached to lot two.
Correct. And it may stay that way, John. This will accommodate the idea that, okay, maybe the access road never happens and this lot is properly configured. The thing that it does do, but we're getting pretty used to it, there is a number of cross easements here and things that have got to be, you know, established for Hoffman to have access and that kind of thing over lot two. But I think that's already essentially been done anyhow. So, but it still is a good concept in that access road to the back to a signalized intersection out here at Route 9 would be tremendously helpful.
And that 2.309 acres for lot two, that includes that?
Correct.
Potential road.
But yet, given the design of this, if that right-of-way were to be taken over publicly, the remaining lot two is of sufficient size to meet the standards in the code.
Do we know what size that is? I mean, it's not on the map.
I don't know what the resulting size would be.
I don't have the exact number. It will be over the 1 acre minimum. Probably closer to an acre and a half, acre three quarter.
Right. Okay. So exactly approximately an acre.
Yeah. The minimum in the zone is an acre. We're going to be well above that.
I expected it would be more than an acre. I just wanted to hear it from somebody because it's not written on the map anywhere.
The sticking point, that wasn't a sticking point, but I think the zoning board found a way to overcome it. There was an exceptionally, to accommodate this, again, this new configuration, that was an exceptional amount of relief given for that side yard setback there. And I have to say, this is not a corner lot. This, technically speaking, is still just a side yard setback here that they needed relief from. And the point of mitigation was the installation of a engineered guardrail, as shown there, to overcome the concern of a safety issue with, because we could potentially have some relatively heavy trucks coming down this driveway in the event that something happened. The guardrail would be sufficient to avoid any kind of severe damage to the building.
Dude, I would want to be restricted to a guardrail if we had to go with bars and you're okay with that.
Well, to me, it transfers to the engineer that stamps these plans.
So, thanks, Jim.
Whoever wants to take on that
assurance,
yeah. It's on your stamp. So,
okay, so two things for me on this. Okay, first of all, that setback was mentioned when the first lot was proposed. Okay? And it was mentioned at that time that the building could be moved or would be removed. So there is a variance there at that point that's beyond what was originally.
Well, and what happened there, John, was apparently there is interest in the purchase of the building as configured.
Yeah,
I get that. And the buyer wanted that wing to remain.
Where I was going with this is they put in a provision of those guardrails. Okay. I would propose something even one step further than that, and that is there should be some kind of curbage or barrier there to keep vehicles that are in the lot one building's front lot from accessing that road directly from the lot.
In this area?
Yes. And the reason for that is because you've left that building there as a visual obstruction. Okay? And I would be very uncomfortable with vehicles coming along that curb, figuring they're going right up to Route 9 and somebody darting out of that parking lot in front of that other building into those two turn lanes.
So you're concerned the car pulling out of here is not going to yes. see a future potential car
exactly.
coming down.
Or future potential car coming down isn't going to see that car coming trying to cross two lanes of outgoing traffic to get over to that other one. So, and this makes me uncomfortable because to be honest with you, I'd really rather keep that traffic off of Route 9. All right, I don't want them to have to go out and turn left, but they can no longer come out there if that building's obstructing the view.
So is that a possibility to make that a condition of a future site plan review? As of right now, the only traffic coming out is the vehicles that are going to be coming out of Kaufman Car Wash at this location to turn and take any route down through Route 9.
Right.
If we could limit this to exiting only, for this time, and then once, if and once this lot develops or this road gets extended out, is when the real safety concern that you're discussing right. becomes an issue. Right now, I think bringing some traffic to the signalized intersection is better than bringing it.
So this is the thing. Ideally, that was what I expected. I love getting traffic off the highway. All right, interconnecting is one of my favorite things. But the problem is, by keeping that extension of that building so close to that road, as you put in a visual obstruction, all right, it becomes a traffic hazard. So if that's going to stay there, which it is, you have the variance and the new person wants it, that's great. Then it makes it more difficult to be comfortable with cars crossing two lanes of outgoing traffic to take a left and go to Hoffman's.
Well, I guess you were by virtue of taking out that pavement, you're closing off any access through there anyhow.
Yeah, and that is something we're in discussions on. We've been talking about taking that gravel out of there. I think that was a recommendation on the ZBA. The conversation I'm having tonight is maybe there's an interim step in between when this becomes an active road with a lot of traffic versus right now there is no traffic on it other than Hoffman's Car Wash. It is only a drive-through. If in the event, if and when this extends is when that is the concern.
So that's not a road. It's a parking lot.
This is a driveway.
No. I'm talking about in front of the other building.
That's correct. Driveway parking lot.
If it was a public highway, we could call the highway department and say there needs to be a no left turn sign put there and a stop sign. But it's not. It's a parking lot. And I don't know if we can designate traffic signage in a parking lot.
Yes, you can.
We can. At the very least, it should have something that makes the people leaving that parking lot stop before they pull out. And to be honest with you, once that becomes a road, I could really see a no left turn. You're crossing two lanes of traffic there.
Yeah, the no left turn.
Yes.
Here.
Yeah. Now the alternative to that is to provide an access road off the back side of that building. You have lots of land in the back to gain access to that road out to the intersection.
Certainly, and I think okay. At some point, right. when this road gets extended, there will be a site plan amendment which makes these connections. Right now, today, we're only talking about the subdivision,
right.
And I understand your concerns about the safety of this intersection. And we are willing to work with you to do something with it, and particularly as this gets developed, then I certainly see the need to do something right. like completely blocking it off as a potential. Right now, I just don't see the need for it because there's not a lot of traffic. So that's all. Maybe it's a condition that if and when this occurs, this owner has to abide by the site plan, that is the that we close it off or we add the turn signage or we do whatever is the appropriate mitigating factor for this board.
I think once Hoffman opens up, you're going to see a lot of cars there. You're going to see a lot of traffic. So
on a sunny day in the middle of winter, absolutely.
So on any day, if you go past any Hoffman car lot, you're busy all the time.
So, I mean, ideally, if this was still moving ahead without that zoning change having been made, that variance, okay, and you came in with site plan with that, then what my first take would be is that wing off to the right disappears. Then you divert traffic up beside the building and into an entryway across from Hoffman's entrance. Now you've got, you know, traffic controlled there, and there's room between the intersection and there for visibility and everything else. I guess that's my biggest concern. It really doesn't change whether it's just Hoffman or the applicants in the back. If somebody comes out of there, there's no signage for stop or no left turn, and they decide to hang a left to go to Hoffman's. They're crossing two lanes of traffic coming out of Hoffman's, one's left and one right to get to the other one, and it's just becomes really sketchy. Okay, so at the very least, I would, even now, unless you're going to rip that pavement right out and make it grass, and people will drive over that too, but, you know, and I'd rather you didn't do that. I'd really rather you make it the connection off of the highway, but we have to do everything we can to make it as safe as possible. And that would include a stop sign and technically a no left turn, just to keep people from trying to make that. You're not just crossing two lanes of traffic going out, but now you've got cars coming in off of Route 9 in that other entrance lane, and it just could get really messy. That close to the intersection.
If you're talking stop sign control, no left turn sign.
Coming from the parking lot to that way, yeah. At the bare minimum, I'd really rather just be able to move it, but you can't. That's okay.
You know? Move the entrance.
Yeah, and you can't. Not if you leave that wing there, and that's fine. And I don't think you can direct people to go around the building into the back. It's just not reasonable, probably.
Yeah. Certainly not at this time until the road is extended. But right now, there is a use for the building as it exists. And I know we're trying to do the right thing and accommodate the town's desire. Obviously, by doing this, it does hinder some of the development potential of this property. So we are trying to do the right thing by the town. We're just trying to make sure we have a usable site. Our only entrance is down here. This becomes a long dead-end road with limited maneuverability if you can't find a spot to park down there. So having the ability to even slip out and only go, you know, right here and right out that way is really about our only option.
Hey, Jim?
Yeah?
Who's going to put in that road?
In all likelihood, it's going to be the developer of Lot 2. But the town does not. The town only accepts roads that are dedicated to it. We don't build a lot of roads ourselves, so it's likely going to be the developer of Lot 2.
Why 2 and not the other ones?
Because it's in their interest. They're the ones that are going to be serviced by it.
They can't get through without
them. The other two, the Hoffmans has already got their access, and this existing building has already got its access to Route 9. There's really no advantage to them to build that road now. It's the user of Lot 2 who's going to have the most interest in it.
Or the adjacent landowner if they decide to.
Or, yeah, yep.
Bring a road down through here.
Yep. The CDSJ LLC, yeah.
That's a pretty large parcel.
Yes.
That we're connected to there.
Yep.
And contaminated.
And there was interest in that at one time by a large distribution center a couple of years ago, but it never materialized.
So ideally, if the development of Lot 1 included the business in the back with the one in the front, you know, something that could be considered the same business, then you would be able to direct the parking to the back and access out there.
I mean, I dare say you'll see the development of that larger lot and that road put in that basis than Lot 2 and that lot owner putting in the road.
Because technically your idea of joining into that intersection connection is great. And if you wanted to go with that idea, you're good with getting rid of the right-hand curb cut into that parking lot.
It,
right. the north one, the curb cut in, so that you're keeping people from darting across the intersection into that business there, and then you're getting that access road feel. But for now, obviously, we're trying to do this in as minimal impact to what's absolutely there. Okay, so.
Yeah, depending on what goes, that's such a large lot.
It is.
Depending on what goes in there and the intensity of it, you know, you could see a substantial reworking of the intersection.
Yeah.
You know, added turn lanes and.
Yeah, I mean, and I think we're agreeing with the board. I think if we can put stop sign control, no left turn lane, and keep it open so that this intersection can be closed off at a future date with the parameters of the redevelopment of that road.
So we're saying no entrance or exit off of Route 9, right?
No. I didn't. To the current Route 9 Auto World building?
Yeah.
No. I was saying if I had my druthers, if we were going to do, you know, control the traffic off-site, and you were going to have a road access to that other road, and that was the goal, then you would get rid of that curb cut on the north side.
All right, so we'll still have that same.
Yeah, there's still going to be two curb cuts there.
Right. You'll have this one,
which is huge,
to come out, and this one in the interim, before anything else happens, we will have the ability to exit out and make right in turns out of that intersection.
So we're going to do the other curb cut.
This will remain.
Wait a minute. I may be wrong looking at this map. Is there only one curb cut there that goes to Route 9 Auto World?
There's this curb cut here.
And then the north one is the one where the road is, right?
Correct.
My mistake. I'm sorry. I was thinking that that was the one that's to the south of the proposed road. So that's already curbed off there.
Yeah, this is all curbed off.
Okay,
here.
My mistake. I'm sorry. All right. I was reading the map wrong here.
So what are we going to do on the south end here, though? Is you're going to let cars go in and out, or you're not going to let cars go in and out?
We were proposing no changes in keeping that a full access curb cut. Especially if we're going to have to start limiting.
We don't really have any jurisdiction over that anyhow, Mike. It's a state problem.
No, and actually, that's a good thing to have that curb cut there. All right.
Oh, I know that's. I wanted to make sure you weren't going to block that off.
That's going to remain as is. And again, I think as Jim's pointed out, there's a lot of land back here. There may be a substantial change in this site 5, 10, 15 years down the road. Right now, existing building, users there, they got a business ready to go.
It would be, in the future, it would be nice to have that one access a roadway further away from the intersection.
Yeah, if I would see a future.
Something, yeah, or especially if you could do it right opposite, somehow right opposite the Hoffman's, where it's a combination thing, you know, but you can't, I get it, it looks nice the way it is. It really does with the two display areas, so I'm not trying to get rid of one of them, all right. So thanks. Yeah.
And the point's well taken. You will see this again for if there is a new use of the existing building, that'll come in for site plan review. And if there is a new use proposed for lot 2, obviously, you'll see that for site plan review as well.
Board, any other questions?
I mean, from a subdivision point of view, it's pretty straightforward. The site plan is what gets a little tricky.
Yeah, what we're hoping to do is that we can schedule a public hearing tonight for the May meeting to finalize this and hopefully obtain approval at the May meeting.
Hey, Joe, with this road, and just knowing how bad the drainage is, like anytime it rains, that habitat building is sitting in 6 inches of water. Is this 60 feet wide enough to consider all the stormwater infrastructure that will have to go for the road and then also for lot 2?
So the road, it is wide enough for a full town highway.
Okay.
The stormwater management aspects of it is something we would have to look at. The plan, and again, there's a couple things at play here. If it is developed, if Lot 2 is developed, it's going to be just a 26-foot wide access driveway, not a road built to a town spec. Okay. Certainly, if that is the case, there's plenty of room in the good sandy soils we have to have sheet flow off the road into roadside drainages or dry wells, whatever we need to accommodate the drainage. If in the future this landowner decides to approach the owner of Lot 2 about purchasing or obtaining the access through here, that's going to fall into their jurisdiction of their site plan.
Okay, so it's going to be a 60-foot wide easement?
Right now it is a 60-foot wide, it's set up to be a town road in the future.
Okay.
If this entity is believes this is the best access point for them and wants to entertain building and constructing a road that comes out of a traffic light. The town, Jim is saying, and we agree, that somebody that's going to develop this large parcel is going to want to have direct access to a traffic light. It's more enticing.
If the subdivision were to go forward, you know, or get approved in its current configuration, one potential outcome could be a boundary line adjustment between the lands of CDSJ LLC and the owner of Lot 2.
Okay.
So the lands of CDSJ would take on the configuration of that lot would be inclusive of the 60 foot.
Yeah, I'm just wondering how this ends up looking, Lot 2 standalone on a map.
See the curvature line there that has a 136.51 on it?
Yeah.
That would be the boundary line of Lot 2.
Okay.
If the road
dedication were to go through.
Yeah, that's
what
you're
saying.
Yeah.
And the hammerhead itself would be eliminated as well. That'd get reincorporated in.
So now what do we do about getting utilities back there then, all the way back to Lot 2?
That would... What we would propose during site plan is we'd like to see the utilities in the roadway as they normally would be. In the right
private utilities. But the utilities would belong or would be put in by Lot 2. It's not going to be a public.
No, the other utilities are going to come right out of 9.
Right.
But they'd follow the curvature of that access drive, Mike, and should it ever be dedicated or proposed to be dedicated over to town road, then it would take on those configurations.
I'm just thinking back to Lot 2, if they had to have fire protection back there and that kind of stuff. Now we're getting quite a bit of ways away from having a hydrant or anything.
No, I would think the water and sewer would be extended back to that lot.
Yeah, yes. Yeah, they would connect to sewer and they would have this hydrant back there.
So Lot 2
would be fully serviced. With water and sewer.
That would certainly be the anticipation, unless it was some use that has absolutely minimal usage. Let's say a self-storage facility, which has 100 gallons of flow a day, a well would certainly provide that. But it is anticipated that utilities, either at the cost of Lot 2 or at the cost of the adjacent developer, whoever builds that road will be extending those utilities.
So now is Lot 2 going to be kicked out of the sewer district because of the way the boundaries are?
No. The Lot 2 right now, if this configuration were to go forward as drawn, would be in the sewer district because it has frontage on Route 9.
Lot 2 doesn't have frontage.
It does. Yes, it does.
Yeah, 60 feet wide where the road is.
Joe, outline for Mike the boundary of Lot 2 is your proposal. Just trace it.
Okay.
And that change, what Jim was saying is if the property next door gets developed and they want to use that as access, they would have to do a lot line adjustment with Lot 2.
Alright, so that road actually belongs to Lot 2.
This is one of the few times where we're actually doing planning.
Ahead.
instead of actually just review.
Yeah, that's why I'm asking. So.
It's a little clunky, but it's a noble endeavor.
Well, you know how it reads. If you don't have road frontage, now you're not in the district. You got to do an extension.
That is a little bit of my concern now that I'm hearing this. If this turns into Vittingale Way, this lot no longer has frontage on Route 9.
Well, at that point, it has to be dedicated over, Joe.
It would have to be, and then it would have proper frontage.
That's why the hammerhead is here now. So that could be a town road without connecting all the way through.
I'm talking for aspects of sewer only. The way I'm hearing it is you are not in the district unless you have frontage on Route 9.
I'm not so sure what the standards are. I think it's in either way.
Before I did anything, I would get a clarification on the sewer district.
Right. We certainly don't want to be excluded from the sewer district.
Correct. And that's why I'm bringing it up tonight, because I'm not sure how it reads, but I'm pretty sure.
I'm not sure where the boundary is for the sewer district. That's a good point. You should get it.
Bringing that up, this whole lot, before we started subdividing, it was definitely in the sewer district.
Correct. It still is.
Typically, it would be.
Yes, you would be then. I didn't know if it was a certain distance off of Route 9 or included the parcel.
That's just something we got to check.
I would get clarification on it.
Do you foresee the sewer decision going against keeping a commercial property in the sewer district?
No, I would think we want to get as much use in the district as we could.
At the moment, I think that designation is if you're on Route 9, you're in the sewer district, it's almost a gun to your head, you have to be. So I don't really see them saying, oh, you're not connected to Route 9 anymore, so you can't be in it.
No, I don't see how this could be excluded because the idea was for this to be into the formation of the district.
Yeah, points are well taken. We'll definitely make sure it's verified. I mean, I don't see why they wouldn't want that in.
If we can simply get an email message from Mike Mooney clarifying that it's in, that's what I would suggest.
Okay. Perfect.
But I would like some sort of correspondence from Mike Mooney to that effect.
No problem. You can certainly provide that.
So if lot two sells and has a separate owner and they come to develop your site plan, implications on site plan lot one with some of these traffic restrictions that we've kind of discussed, if it has a separate owner, how would you enforce any changes to lot one?
So what there is, there's a hatch associated with this 60-foot right-of-way that is an ingress-egress utility easement granted from lot two to Hoffman's lot, as well as this lot one. It's going to be a cross-access. Any one of these three lots can use this section of road. Because right now, if you're aware, Hoffman's own this lot here.
Yep.
Their only access point comes out into lot two.
Right.
They have an easement over lot two that provides them access.
Joe, I think it would be worthwhile to show the limits of those easements on, since we're at subdivision. It should be on the plat.
Yep.
And there should be notes as well. And then your third backup is it's in the deed, but we don't usually see the deed language. So I'd like to see them on the plat.
Certainly.
The boundaries of the easements and the notations as to, who gets what.
Yep. Perfect. We can make sure that's on there.
So in this case, this is not like a shared driveway. This is an easement onto another lot's.
Right. And the reason for that is so when the plat's recorded, it's not in the official recording.
Exactly. Right.
And it's in the deeds as well. So it's like belts and suspenders.
And this is strictly subdivision. So we're really not worried about lighting or drainage or anything on lot one or anything. That'll all be taken care of when an applicant comes in front of us for that.
Correct.
So.
And it would, I wouldn't, because you could do it now, but it might all have to be changed.
Yeah, no, I'm okay with that. I just want to make sure, I'm trying to make sure that we get our map together tonight because this will have to have a public hearing.
But I think the cross easements is important to get all that shown and sorted out, because they're kind of complicated.
I think in that letter from Mooney, you might better ask water and sewer. Water and sewer.
Yeah.
So going back to that access point in the front of the building onto the new proposed road, that map has to, if you're going to be accessing it there, that map has to show that. It doesn't at the moment.
Here?
Yeah.
Yes.
You have to draw that in as that's going to be in the proposed access point, and then signage there.
Okay. Correct.
I would highly recommend that be a one-way out and not not in or out. You don't want people crossing two lanes of traffic to pull into there. So, and you have that other really nice one down there to go in and out of too. I want to say, Mr. Rigdell, I like the way you've done this. I like the thought that's gone into the access way. And of course, it benefits you too if they do develop that. These lots will have access to all that traffic, but it's really nice to see this kind of forethought. So,
anything else?
I'm supposed to ask. I was doing that pause, waiting to see. I'm not hearing anything. So, what do you think, guys? Do we want to do something with this application?
I personally want to see that clarification on water and sewer, because we don't want to be kicking the property out down there. Where that's all going.
So we want a letter then from Moody saying that.
Something.
That we wouldn't throw somebody out of the sewer district if their land that connects Route 9 becomes a public road. That's.
No, I want to make sure. Yeah.
No, that's what I mean.
That, because right now it goes down Route 9.
Right.
Okay. Once we subdivide that, Lot 2 is going to be in the back, and it's no longer going to be on Route 9. Joe knows what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I don't mind. Petitioning Mooney to get a letter. Yeah. It's certainly something we can have in the next couple of weeks, well ahead of the public hearing.
Otherwise, we're going to have to go through a sewer district extension. That's all well.
Been there, done that.
Been through all that.
Would they have to do that anyways, Mike, if they did subdivide that other lot? If this becomes an access point for that 36-acre or 38-acre lot, then they're probably going to have properties in there that are on a public road that you're saying now is no longer attached to Route 9.
I'm not saying it's not.
But all those properties are also going to have to be connected to sewer.
I'm saying I don't know.
Okay.
And I don't want a clarification.
What I'm asking is, do we want clarification from Mr. Moody on that? What would happen if that did, and what would that, require an extension? Or?
Being that nothing's in front of us right now, but I think some good clarification on what we're doing here. So,
I'm not asking for them to do the work. I'm asking for Mr. Moody to report to us what.
Absolutely, and that's what I'm saying too. He needs to report to us. It's not to them. I just don't want to have them subdivide and sit back there and have a big piece of land in a commercial area with no utilities.
Right. From my applicant's perspective, we certainly want those letters from Moody or somebody identifying that we are in the district and will remain in the district.
Correct.
What happens on this land over here, I'm not
going to do that anymore.
I don't have any control. I don't want to.
I agree.
Proceed with that or anything on that property.
Yeah. So, just make sure we have the water.
It's a stepped process. It's one step at a time. The first step is to make sure these are in, and then in the next step, later on, we take care of the other lot owner.
Yep.
But we want to make sure this is the first step in making sure that whole area gets watered and sewered someday.
Someday, but right now I'm concerned about Lot 2.
Absolutely.
So we would want to see that then before.
I do, before I do anything, yeah.
Okay.
Can we schedule the public hearing?
We're getting it.
Okay. I was under
we're the impression. What we're doing is we're doing this process.
I schedule it.
We're going through the process of trying to figure out, unless you don't want us to schedule a public hearing for next month.
We absolutely do.
Then just let us work through this, because what we're doing is we're putting up the list of stuff that has to be there for that to happen. And
I got the letter from Mike Moody about districting for water and sewer, and he's been shown with notes.
Okay, I also wanted the map change to show that ingress, egress from the north portion of the front parking lot. All right. With signage and all that we've talked about earlier. Anything else you'd like to see before a public hearing on this? That is really, that's a short list. Okay. Well, so in that case,
one thing. So we're going to sit down and take all this into consideration, and we may want to change a little bit of where that guardrail is shown. Remember, that's just a proposal.
If you don't mind my asking why.
You don't know.
Yeah, I'm only asking because you brought it up three times now, so it's obviously something that's important enough that you have a reason. So I'm curious why.
When we had one prize interested, they were a little concerned about how extensive that would be, so we just want to have some
guardrail.
Yeah, as long as we can work with Jim on that, that's all we want.
The guardrail is one of your least contentious.
Well, it is a condition of the variance, so it has to be provided.
The way
the condition was worded, as I recall, with the zoning board was that it has to be bearing an engineer's stamp that it will provide a certain level of protection, you know, given the traffic that's going to be received there. So fairly good-sized single-axle trucks will have to be able to, you know, have to withstand, any kind of, accident involving a truck like that.
Now, certainly we'll work through that detail where we put guide rail and or bollards to allow the adequate flow in and off and around the property is what we're just trying to accomplish there.
I don't think that much change when something goes in there with site plan,
It's very possible, too.
Yeah.
We are committed to protecting the building as per the variance. That's what we will be showing on the plan.
Well, the zoning board wanted to see it done with subdivision for that guardrail. They wanted that installed at the earliest possible time.
I'm going to ask a question because I'm not a civil engineer. Is there a distinction between a guide rail and a guardrail?
I don't think so. I think they're one and the same. But what we want to look for here is that it's got, proper footing, sufficient depth in concrete, or whatever they're going to do to reinforce it so that it can withstand that kind of, accident.
Jim, isn't there something in the code on the guide rails? I think that you could ask Chris Abrams on that.
And I'd just soon not have the town take on any liability on this. I'd just soon have it be on the applicant's engineer to provide us with the specification. Because once we start taking that on, then we become part of that quote-unquote liability chain.
Yeah.
And that's a chain I just assume not be on.
You don't want to provide them with the details yet?
No. Plus, I have no stamp anyhow, so.
But to that point, though, the guardrails are in what is the proposed right-of-way for the public road if it is turned over to the town. So it may end up becoming town guardrails. At that point, you...
Well, again, that's all the more reason why we want somebody else's stamp on it.
Love that. Okay.
So we can...
I like that. Okay. All right. Anything else for? Hearing nothing. Would anybody like to make a motion for something for the next meeting? I guess not.
We agree with that.
Okay. So I'll make a motion to schedule the public hearing on Monday, May 15th.
Yep.
At 7. Oh, we don't have anything else. Right?
Yep, that's 7:01 on the slot.
Yeah.
One second.
Motion and a second for a public hearing on May 15th at 7:01 p.m. Shouldn't be too controversial, but is there any discussion on that?
Yeah, should we improve the conditions and not do
in the
public
motion?
Hearing?
Yeah. Do you want the conditions into the public hearing?
I think Mike does.
Okay.
Based on what I heard.
So would you like to make an amendment to that motion?
I just would like to add the conditions if it's okay with Meredith to her motion.
Yes. Yeah, that was what I said. Yeah.
If we can use consent for that. So we'll throw those two conditions into that.
Yeah.
And if that's all. It's not too terribly controversial. All in favor of a public hearing for this on May 15th at 7:01 p.m. or scheduling a public hearing for it, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Hearing none. You have a public hearing at 7:01 May 15th.
Thank you very much.
And Joe, if we could get those items by a drop dead date of a week in advance so I can make sure whether the distribution occurs to the board members.
Yeah, certainly the revisions to the plan that are in my control will be there. And we'll pursue.
Mike Mooney's pretty good about it.
Yeah. I don't anticipate having an issue. So I don't see that being a problem at all.
Okay.
Well, thank you very much. I should have asked you if you had any questions for us. And I didn't.
No, I think I'm good.
You know better than bring anything up now, huh? Just get out the door and be glad you have a question.
Speak as little as possible.
I never learned that, as you've noticed.
Because you're on that side, you can say anything you want.
Have you seen anything? Have you seen anything in the last year?
What's that?
Have you seen anything for the last year of this planning board? We can't say whatever we want on the side.
Yeah. A lot of motion to adjourn.
Yeah, do you want to make a motion to adjourn?
I'll make a motion.
Thank you, guys.
To adjourn.
Okay.
Adam made the motion to adjourn. A second.
Take care.
Meredith, second. All in favor, aye.
Aye.
Aye. There we go.